Hey guys, JB here, the Wolf of Wall Street in the Wolf's Den for another awesome episode. Got a great guest today, specialist in the world of PR. And just to leave you a brief background, because I think people misunderstand what PR is, how it's used, and how it differs from marketing. Now, for starters, one thing about PR is it's basically free. In the sense that what you're doing is you're going to media outlets and you're getting articles written about you and so forth and getting exposure. And, you know, people like myself, it's very easy for me to get PR, right? Because I have a brand. You also can pay people to get you exposed. You can pay to go on people's podcasts. You can pay to have yourself, you know, in certain public venues like, you know, magazines and also online and TV shows. But for the most part, PR is free, while marketing is something that you pay for. So it's a bit different. So typically, PR is softer brand building types of things where you see yourself perhaps on billboards, on TV, magazines, written about in articles. It's really great for branding yourself as an expert, as an influencer, so to speak, right? And then on the other side, you have marketing, which typically is a bit more directed as a call to action. And nowadays, especially online, you see a lot of direct response type of marketing where there's an action involved that you're taking at the end of the sequence. So they're saying, click on this link to learn more, enter your name to get such and such. So that's direct response marketing. The two are very powerful when they're used together. PR, to help build your brand, position you the right way as an expert, a leader, influencer in your field, and then follow that up by aggressive marketing tactics to really get your message in front of the right people and have them do something, whether that something is to click on a link, opt in, or whatever that might be. All right, so just to clarify that, remember, PR is something that is not for everyone, but for those people are looking to really build their brand, raise their profile, and have, you know, fame, so to speak, it's an integral part, and you should be involved in it. So with that, I want everyone to meet Zach Temperman in a moment, because first we're going to hear from one of our awesome sponsors. Then very quickly we'll be into the interview. It's a really good one, a lot to learn, step-by-step stuff. All right, real quick, listen, if you're a CEO, you're a sales manager, or you're involved in hiring for your company, I want you to check out my new organization, Straight Line Hiring. What we do is we deliver expertly trained salespeople to companies like yours. World-class salespeople trained by me and delivered to you on demand. Go to my website, jordanbelfort.com. Check out Straight Line Hiring, the only way to grow your company with certainty. All right, Zach, thanks for coming on. One question to start. Tell everybody here from your perspective what the difference between PR and advertising is, and how do they work together hand in hand?
Yeah, so PR, you know, is organic. I mean, there are some pay-per-plays there, but it's really, you know, getting yourself out there in the media, doing events, whatever else you fucking want to do, get yourself out there. Whereas advertising, you're paying somebody to fucking talk about you. And, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to pay somebody to talk about you. If you're good enough, big enough, you know, you have a great product, you have a great, you know, personality, story, whatever it is, you should just get PR and people will talk about you.
Do you think that the two work well together, hand in hand? Or do you think that PR alone, if you do it right, is enough?
I mean, they can work hand in hand. I mean, if you have a campaign coming out and you have a celebrity that's endorsing your product and you're going to do a whole campaign where you want to have, you know, billboards and paid ads all over the place, but you're also going to do the flip side with PR where you're going to get the articles out about the celeb endorsing your product and all that kind of stuff, then yes, they work hand in hand. But at the beginning, I always tell every one of my clients, just do PR, because you can put a million ads out there and if somebody's not driving by that billboard, they're not checking you out. But if you get a story out about you, you know, everybody's going to read it. It's going to be out there and you can hit a whole range more of people than just, you know, one ad here, one ad there, and hoping somebody sees it and actually clicks through and does whatever it's going to do.
So one of the biggest things about advertising, especially back in the pre-internet days, was the old saying was, you know, 10% of my advertising is giving me 90% of my sales. The only problem is I don't know which 10%. It wasn't so easy to track your ads back then. You know, you could get some idea, but it was much more difficult. You didn't have these, you know, everything so direct response now with eyeballs and measurements on online and so forth. But that being said, there's also this other part about where, like, things like you mentioned billboards and those sort of softer branded things, while they don't work very well for direct response, they work very well to enhance the results of a direct response campaign. So can you explain, give me an example of how someone would use those together? Like, how would you use billboards and other advertising that really, if you just did that, you wouldn't get results, but it actually paves the way for the results of something else that's more related to direct response.
Right. And I mean, we've done it before where you can use a billboard or an ad to kind of turn into a PR stunt or a PR story that everybody's going to talk about. So for instance, you could, you know, the Super Bowl just happened a bit ago. You know, you could take out an ad at the Super Bowl and you could, you know, film this racy, sexy, you know, Fox, CBS, and everybody's going to reject it. But you film this whole ad campaign and you submit it in for, you know, the Super Bowl to use. You know beforehand it's going to get rejected. Now it just gets rejected. All of a sudden, that whole that whole video now comes out on the list of rejected videos or whatever you want. And all of a sudden, you're getting more eyeballs on that than the fucking Super Bowl would have given you. So the same thing with like billboards and other ads. If you get, you know, I've done it before with clients where, you know, I have a client, they're, you know, a little racy. We put out, you know, an ad on a website or submit it in for, you know, website ads. And it gets rejected. Now we could do a whole story, go to the New York Post, New York Times, whatever you want to go to, and say, hey, this was just rejected. Why? And we did that, you know, a couple of years ago, I had a suit company that, you know, made suits for, you know, larger women. So our ad had larger women in suits. We submitted that into a newspaper to run just a one-page ad with it. And they said, this is not something we run. Boom, we just took that ad. There's a whole story now about why this newspaper isn't doing it. And, you know, you're getting more attention. So that's how they can kind of run hand in hand. But if you also, you know, you have a whole campaign, you have a story out there, you just launched a new energy drink or something like that, you know, you can do your story, get the story out there, have the billboard and use the billboard as an interactive tool where somebody could text something or sees it or a contest or something. And that kind of goes into your PR story.
Do you consider yourself, like, there's so many different types of people in your space, but I find a lot of them are really just like, they're great if you have heat on you and there's lots of incoming calls coming in. They'll say, great, I'll manage all the incoming calls for your interviews and I'll make sure they have the right talking points. That's one level of PR, but it sounds like what you're talking about is more strategic, that you're actually doing things and creating campaigns that would not be like, you know, just, while it's organic, the result is organic. You're not really paying for it, so to speak, but it's not like a natural or occurring thing. Like, for example, I'm fortunate, right? Because I have a brand that's, you know, been around for a long time now and is a movie. So I have a natural incoming, calls from all over the world to do press appearances. But okay, fair enough. I'm like, but what about the things that, like, you know, hey, let's create stuff that makes them want to speak to you. How do you go about doing that? Like the average person, doesn't have what I have, right? And they don't, yeah. So what do they do to start that? Like, how does someone start and become famous? And the reason I use that word famous, because it's like, it almost has a negative connotation these days. Like everybody, you see this thing on, it's actually, I'm going to watch on HBO Max. It just came out called Fame, I think it is. Like we were going to watch it last night, but we'll probably watch it tonight, right? But, you know, there's almost a negative connotation. Everyone wants to be famous for their 15 minutes, want to be an influencer, right? But then again, you know, there's really a path these days where you can make a lot of money doing that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But how does someone do that? Like, how does, you know, that's not like over the top gorgeous or doesn't have a movie about them with the most famous actor in the world or someone that is not like, you know, save the baby when a plane was, you know, how does some of the average person start this process? Step one.
It's very fucking easy. And you know what? We've done it with a million different people too. And that's the difference. Like, I like to think, you know, myself, if you want somebody to just, you know, field your phone calls and all that, hire an assistant. You don't need to hire me. If you want to just get a couple articles out there, do it yourself. Go track down a reporter and, you know, figure it out. But when I come in, I like to think a little bit outside of the box. And the way I always say to somebody is, you could come to me, you could be, you know, you could have the best product, service, actor, whatever you are. But if nobody knows about you, are you really the best? That's like, you know, my thing. And so what we do is, say you're an actor and nobody knows who you are. You're just that background guy, but you want to get out there. You want casting directors to check you out. You want that quote unquote fame. You want to get into the parties. You want like what you have, media outlets calling you as the expert and getting you on. So the first thing I say is, right when they walk in the doors, I say, you know, lift up your hand to me. Tell me the five things that you want people to resonate with who you are as a person. So are you into charity? Are you an actor? Are you into yoga? Whatever the fuck it is. Figure out those five things. And then what we're going to do is we're going to branch you off into the media outlets of those five things and get your story told. And if we can't get a story told, like you're into charity, but you haven't done anything charity-wise, let's connect you with some charities to get you into. If you're into yoga, let's get you into the yoga magazine and talk about how yoga once a week really helps you, your mindset as an actor. And then you're now getting a spread in that. So start off with those small media, build you out. So say you get 10 hits in each one of those five. Now you have 50 media hits within a month or two. The media is talking about you. You know, your Google, your SEO, everything is up. Now I can pitch you to like a Fox, a CNN, or wherever I want, and start, you know, elevating your, you know, your fame. And they're going to Google you. They're going to see all that. Hopefully, while you're doing all those things, you're updating your social media. You're, you know, you're building more content. You're creating content. And as all that is going up and up and up, your fame is coming forward, and you're meeting people, connecting, and you know, the path goes forward. But that's how you kind of get started.
Do you think anybody nowadays with the right guidance can become famous?
100%. I've done it. I had a woman walk in. She was from Ukraine, and she said, "Zach, I give you $20,000. You make me famous in 1 month." In that 1 month, she was on every TV show. She had a show in Vegas, and her song was honestly the biggest bullshit and the worst song I've ever done. But it worked. And yes, you can pay off media outlets these days. You can do whatever you want to do. You can get yourself out there. Again, if you have the money, you can get anything done. And PR is a luxury. You know, it's something not everybody can afford. But if you have the right mindset, the right connections, and, you know, the right strategy behind you, anybody could be famous. Honestly, I've seen it.
So let's do an actual case study here for someone. Like you mentioned this woman, but maybe, you know, if you want to use that as just something else, what would you give us a good case study here of something that would be, that you would be duplicatable, like the most people will be able to learn from this? What's a good example for the average person that, you know, they have, you know, few followers, they maybe have some talent, but let's give us a case study of someone that you've done it for and how you did it step by step, very granular.
All right, perfect. I mean, we had an entrepreneur. He has, you know, a company where he sells home decor products. What we did is, you know, people weren't really paying full attention to him. I mean, he had a great story and everything in the background. But what we did is we said, okay, how do we get the attention on this entrepreneur? How do we get this entrepreneur who's scaled this company into millions of dollars, but how do we get people to pay attention to him because it's just a home decor company and there's, you know, whatever else out there? So what we did is we paired him up with a couple celebrities, some big name A-list stars. And we said, hey, jump on an Instagram live or let's go do an in-person give back. Let's go to the mall and walk into a home decor store and buy $15,000, $20,000 worth of free gifts during the holidays for people. Now you have a celebrity, an entrepreneur, you got the media talking because the media wants to talk about the celeb, but you're pairing up the person, the entrepreneur with the celeb. And now they're going in there and you have People Magazine, TMZ, et cetera, all talking about it. And it's a feel good charity type of story where they're giving back to people. That's a quick thing that could happen in a matter of a week. And all of a sudden, all the attention's on. You use that to then leverage into a daytime talk show or whatever else you want to, you know, levitate this person to. So that's how you could do it with an entrepreneur, quick and easy. The other way is think outside of the box. Think of a fun PR stunt. You know, if you want to be outrageous and all that, you could sue somebody, you know, get some attention on you. I mean, there's so many different things. It's really what you want. But at the end of the day, you know, a great example I'm just thinking on the top of my head here is I had a plastic surgeon in Miami. 30 years old, straight out of med school. He comes to me and he goes, "Zach, I want to be known as the fucking biggest plastic surgeon in Miami. Make this shit happen for me in 3 months." So thought about all these things. I said, okay, you know what? It's during Oscar season. Elton John has an Oscar party coming out that, you know, our firm works with and sends clients to. So I said, come with me to Elton John's party. We went to Elton John's party, this little 30-year-old. We walked around and we took pictures, him with Elton John, him with Britney Spears at the time, him with all these different housewives and everything, just photo ops. I mean, everybody at the party, you know, has to know somebody to get in and everything. He's taking all these photos. What we did with all those photos is, number one, put it on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, you know, everything at the time. And then we pitched it to like the Today Show, and we said, plastic surgeon to the stars, you know, would love to talk about how this is the year of the rear or whatever it is. And they go to him, they go, can you tell us what clients you are? No, I'm a doctor. I can't really release my patients, but here's some photos you can use in the background. And all these media outlets, these big ones, are saying, hey, this is a guy with this guy. So they can name drop that. It brings in the views, and boom, now all of a sudden, you know, this is a year later now. He's got four or five practices across the US. His schedule's packed up, and he's known as one of the go-to celebrity guys, which he actually has celebrities now. But at the time, right. Literally had right. Nothing, faked it, made it.
Got it. Good example. And how about for someone like, let's just talk about influencers for a second. So you're looking now at a market where it's just so crowded, right? And everybody's out there. Everyone's posting, you know, whether it's their story or post, trying to get, you know, heard or listened to. And is there a formula that's like that, or is it different for each person how you go about doing it? Or is there something, sort of a system that you use?
I mean, you first got to look at what they want to influence. I mean, everybody's a fucking influencer these days. And if you can do something else, do something else. But if you really want to influence, figure out what your niche is. You know, you want to be in fashion or travel, whatever it is. And what you should do at the beginning is, you know, pair up with other influencers that are in that space, because the cross promotions, be seen with them, you know, be that social climber, go out with them, everything like that. Other than that, start, if you've got a small following at the beginning, start doing some free stuff. Start going to the resorts. Pay for the nice Airbnbs if you want to be a travel influencer. Take some great content. Hire a good video team and all that. And create this great, you know, content look and feel for you. And then what you can do is start building and saying, hey, I'll do this trade-off if you give me this. And then when you do that trade-off for that resort, maybe you're now partnering with a fashion company or a fitness company or whatever it is while you go there, and kind of just branch off from there. But the beginning, you know, to build your following, you got to pair up with other people that are in the space, either start a blog or, you know, write some stuff for some other sites, get some media behind you, hire PR and get the word out how you're the biggest fucking fashion influencer, even though you might only have 1,000 or 2,000 followers. But once all you get this, you know, energy going, you can start selling yourself. Because again, at the end of the day, companies, media, they don't need you. You need them. But you got to make them think they need you. And if you can make them think that you can bring, you know, something to them, then, you know, you're a value and you can sell yourself.
How did you get started? How did you learn this?
Honestly, I have no fucking idea. I started in radio. I used to be a radio DJ. I used to do celebrity interviews all the time. And then I got into the film festival circuit, started working with film festivals and the PR that goes on behind the scenes there. And honestly, one of my first guys that hired me and told me, hey, come down to Hollywood. His name was Martin Sheen. He said, hey, get down to Hollywood, work for my PR firm. And I did that for a few years, and I learned all about the celebrity world, working with, you know, Guns N' Roses and all different crazy types of people and personalities. Branched off into product services from there, bought out the firm, turned it into my own. And kind of just learning as you go. I mean, there's not really a school that can teach you marketing. It could teach you how to write a press release and, you know, talk in English. But at the end of the day, it's who you know, your personality, thinking creatively, and that'll get you far in PR or whatever you do in life. I mean, a lot of people are just one lane, and the successful people like yourself and others, they think in all different ways.
Right. So when you are looking for a client, I assume you choose the ones that you want at this point, right? What are the things that you look for in a client? So like if someone wants to find a great PR person, you almost have to sell yourself to that PR person, right? You don't want to handle people who are either going nowhere or who are not interesting or you don't really believe have a story to tell. Because they probably, even though you could force success on, I'm sure you could at this point, but your own reputation, probably you want to yourself, right? To enhance your own thing, to be surrounded by people that you can point to. So what are the things that you look for in people? Is there anything like that you say, you know what, when someone does this or acts this way or has accomplished it, that's a telltale sign that this is someone that I really believe has what it takes to get to that next level where they're really a public persona?
The first thing is, you know, in my first conversation, I can tell if they're full of shit or not. And if they're full of bullshit, I'm out. I mean, I have a
that knocks out 92% of the people in the world.
Exactly. But at least if they're full of bullshit and it's been working for them, then that's a different story. They can do. But the first thing is, you know, are they full of shit? Are they actually, you know, they could be an entrepreneur, they could be behind the scenes, not have any attention, but at least, you know, what they're doing is working. So I look at their story, their background. Do they have any stories I can get out there that they might not even know they have a story about? And then look at their overall success. Are they a startup? Are they already accomplished? Where are they in their life and their where they are in everything? And so once I see all that and I get out everything together, then I can say, hey, you know what? We could do something in 3 months. We could do something in 6 months. It's going to take us a year. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm straight up with a lot of my, you know, everybody I talk to. I'm like, hey, they one guy called me the other day. He goes, I want to be on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. I said, it ain't going to fucking happen right now. But right. You want to be in Rolling Stone. Let's work backwards from there and see what they want. And then we figure it out from there. And now sure. If they have trust in me and I have trust in them, then we can actually make it work. But if a client's fighting you on everything and they're, you know, they're just full of shit or their ego is in a whole other world, it ain't going to happen. And at that point, you know, go fuck yourself.
How important is it to you and to other people like you who are really, you know, managing the larger clients and the people that want to, you know, be those up and comers? Do you take like a quick look and say they have X number of followers here, X number of fans here? Do you look at the platform and say that's your first, like, okay, like, oh, he's got 50,000 followers, that's, or 10,000 followers, or you don't look at that stuff?
Honestly, I mean, it matters a bit, obviously, when you're pitching to a media outlet, if they're an actor or something, if they're verified and all those kind of numbers. But realistically, I mean, I work with some actors that don't even have social media. And so it's really, do they have a story to tell? If they have a good story or they have good credits coming up, a show coming out or whatever it is, those are the type of people I want to work with. If it's just somebody on Instagram that has 100,000, 200,000 followers and I go in and I realize they're all from India or wherever, I mean, it doesn't really matter. It might look good on social media, but if they have no story, you know, the media is going to call BS on them anyway. So yeah, I look at their story first. All the other stuff is obviously a bonus check mark. But if they have a great story, if you have a good story, a good product, a good thing, we can get you out there. If you don't, then, you know, you're just faking it.
Do you think, though, like, for example, is there a formula nowadays that, like, these companies are looking at with, and you bring up a good point, by the way, like, followers don't really mean anything unless you look at the engagement, right? So is that what you're looking at for, is engagement, the, you know, are the posts being watched? Is there comments being made? What are the things that you're looking for in terms of the metrics that would tell you if someone, you know, really is on the way up or just has some cred at this point?
I mean, if somebody has millions and millions of followers and all that, and they're having all these engagements, I mean, it could be fake still. People could still fake all that these days. But what I do is, you know, a test thing. If somebody has millions of followers and they're a name, or they're saying they're a name, I'll walk into a grocery store and I'll literally go up to like 30 people or so. And I'll say, hey, have you heard about this person? And if not one of those 30 people have heard about them, then I know, okay, maybe I got to look more into this person. And that's kind of how I figure it out, because you could fake metrics. I mean, nobody's going to ever give you their worst stuff. They're going to give you their best stuff. And so, yeah, you know, social media matters. It does. But it's not everything. If you have a great story, the rest will come with it.
What do you think about TikTok right now? What's your thoughts on that in terms of how it relates to the other platforms
right now or something? I don't know. TikTok.
I honestly find it. Listen, it's fun. I have a lot of fans there. I mean, my last video there went viral at a couple million views, and it's still, you know, going strong. But I look at it, I'm like, it's almost like it was like stupid human tricks. It's like, I mean, I don't know, it's funny. So it's a weird thing, but people love it. What do you think about that in terms of, you know, the massive numbers of views you're getting there? And is it a solid platform that you think is strategically can be used to grow your, you know, your fan base and your true public perception of yourself?
Honestly, with my music clients, TikTok has been number one this year, especially during COVID. I mean, you're putting a song on that 30-second clip or whatever it is. It's made so many songs go viral. You know, even The Weeknd, who performed at the Super Bowl, his song was huge on TikTok. So for music and all that, it's great. And if you're a musician, definitely use TikTok. You don't have to be the dancer in it, but put your music on it and figure out some sort of campaign around it. In terms of creators, I actually think TikTok's doing a wonderful thing. I mean, they're doing something that Instagram, Clubhouse, and all these other platforms aren't doing right now, is they're actually paying people to create content. And when you pay somebody at a certain level, they're getting a certain amount of views, you're enticing them to create more and more content to get those views up because you're going to get a check in the mail. And so if you're, you know, just starting off and you're a good looking person or you're funny or whatever your shtick is, I mean, TikTok really can help you. It can bring in another income for you. And so it's really helping in that way. But if you're just using TikTok just to, look, you know, make something stupid or whatever, I mean, you can put it on any platform. It's not really helping your business or stuff. So in terms of branding and stuff, yes, it works well. In terms of making some side income, it's great. But if you're just focusing your whole life on being a TikTok star, I mean, start looking at some other platforms. Because I remember a lot of people that were big on MySpace and now, you know, they're not big on Instagram and all that. And obviously they're not making any money.
Sure. Is it like basically like, you know, TikTok, as you bring up a good point. So if you're a musician, there's certain things like for me, I guess as a businessman, like I find it a little bit, like I don't look at it as being the most congruent thing for me because I'm not getting, and I get it, you know, each platform has its own unique, you know, sort of vibe to it. Right. And, but what shocks me about TikTok is the number of views. Are those views real on TikTok? That they're really...
I mean, I you got to look at it. Like sometimes, you know, if, you know, somebody's just watching a quick second, it counts as a view. You got to also look at the engagement too. It's kind of like Instagram. It could be faked as well. You can buy stuff on TikTok these days. It's much easier to even be verified on TikTok than it is on Instagram. So, I mean, yeah, people are faking it. But in terms of engagement and branding, I mean, if you do a great campaign, I mean, I know clothing lines have done it. I know drink companies have done it, music companies. It could really get yourself out there. So, as long as you're using it for a purpose and you have it part of your overall strategy, it can work to your advantage. But if you're just focusing just on TikTok and you're just putting all your ad money or whatever else into TikTok, you're not going to get far. Because I know so many TikTokers that, you know, they have tons and millions of views, but, you know, they're still struggling to even scale to like, you know, seven figures.
Right. So what do you think the relation is between being an effective communicator or salesperson, right, with PR? Like, you know, I'm known as being a guy that's a great salesperson and trained salespeople. How important do you think that is in terms of like getting your message out there? Do you find that your people that you manage, if they're solid communicators and they had to sell, so to speak, get their message out, it's an important skill for them?
100%. I mean, you need to know how to sell. You know, you need to know how to close. You know, you need to know how to be a people person. You need to know everything. You know, in PR, especially when you're dealing with media, you're dealing with a million different types of personalities, and every media outlet is looking for something different. Somebody might want to talk to you about stocks. The other person might want to talk to you about a movie. You got to know every single industry. You got to know all the headlines that are happening and then know how to sell your client to fit them into that story to then pitch it to the media. So yeah, my whole team, they go through a whole process and they have to know how to talk. And you also have to keep them motivated as a boss as well. You know, you got to keep it fun. You got to keep it light. You can't be a hard ass on them because you got to keep everything going. Right. So yeah, it all plays in your team. You're only as good as your team.
Where do you see the future of all of these platforms? Where do you see it shaking out right now? I mean, I know no one's got a crystal ball. So right now, today, Clubhouse is suddenly hot. And I'm hearing good, you know, I've been, for the last 3 months, I've been getting invitations. I joined, I haven't been on it yet. I know I should be. I'm I'm old, you know, I'm like the last guy in the deal with that stuff. It's like, I'm fortunate because I don't need it, but it's good. You know, you have a very strong, like I'm the opposite of your average person. Like, if you go to like a suit market, 30 people, 29 will know who I am versus like my social is probably way behind my real world fame by a massive margin. While a lot of people, as you say, it's a very good point. They got 4 million followers and no one knows who they are, right? Because in the real world, what's 4 million followers in a world of billions of people where a lot of them are not engaged? So, but the question is, what do you really think? Like, where is the future? Where does this go? Is Instagram and Facebook always going to be the two big dogs on the block and it's just done? Or you think things change?
I think things change. Things are always changing. I think, you know, back in the day we had AIM and ICQ out in Canada where I'm originally from. And I mean, there, you know, platforms, MySpace, we all thought MySpace was going to be the biggest thing in the world. And, you know, their pivot didn't really work. I think Clubhouse, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they open it up to the public. And how they're going to monetize it with, you know, whatever their strategy is. Plus, you know, once COVID has kind of calmed down and over, are people more going to be interactive, or they're going to be sitting in their bed listening to audio all day? I do think the way of the future, though, is Instagram and Facebook do have it right. I mean, the fact that you're able to share photos, videos, all that, people love that. They love getting those likes, that whole like thing. Everybody wants to feel love. So I think, you know, where social media goes from here is maybe there's another platform that comes out that kind of combines a bunch of them, or something that's even more simple, where you can interact, you know, through video or whatever, one-on-one. I mean, if I knew the answer, I'd create it. But I think, you know, in the future, a lot of stuff is going to happen through, you know, your phone. There's going to be no more computers, all that. I mean, we're all attached to our phones all the time. I thought, you know, for a while, podcasts were going to be huge and everything. And podcasts are still huge right now. But, you know, Clubhouse competing with it. You have different, you know, platforms now competing with podcasts. Plus, it's kind of like Instagram. Everybody now has a fucking podcast, you know? Yes, people want to pay attention, you know, to the people that they like and they know and they follow. But you could be a Joe Schmo and, you know, all of a sudden you're an expert on a podcast. Like, there's got to be some authority. So I think maybe a platform where they vet people and they give them that authority to, you know, simplify it that people could then connect with them. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, I think they always say the best thing about podcasts is low barrier of entry. The worst thing about podcasts is low barrier of entry. It's like the same thing, right? Easy to stop, and anyone does it. It's getting to the point now where, you know, it's almost like a bad joke. Hey, you want to come to my podcast? Like, everyone wants to do that. So, you know, for me, I have to only do it with people that really are really well established, because there's just so many people that want to do it. Do you think that is there, let's say the average person, like starting level. I want to go back to that. So you're 23 years old. Is that old nowadays? 23? Oh, God, you're at it. Oh, you're way too old at this point. 21, 23, younger person, right? And, you know, you've grown up with these platforms. You know them, right? You decide you want to, like, okay, I'm going to make my move now. I'm making my move, right? So let's just go back to this. Step one. I want to be an influencer, and I want to deal with, like, I want to travel and do stuff like that, right? What's step one?
Step one, create the asset. Figure out what your brand is, who the fuck you are. Figure out you. What's your personality? Figure out, like I said earlier, those five things that relate to who you are. Once you figure out that, create the content for those things before you even launch anything.
So step two is figure out who you are, step one. Step two, once you decide who you are, what you want to be, what your image and what your brand's going to represent, then start creating content first for that. So step two, create content.
Create the content, do the domain, you know, get your website in order, figure out what it is you're going to do, set your plan.
You need Facebook, you need Instagram, you need TikTok, you need to have a podcast, you need to write a book. Is there like five things that you have, like, here are your five authority things. Do you have that sort of list in your own mind?
I always tell them, you know, concentrate on three. I say use Twitter right now for your links, use Instagram for your photos, and use Facebook for everything else. And create those things. You don't need the others. You don't need the LinkedIn. You don't need the Clubhouse. You don't need the TikTok right now. Again, it depends what you want to do. If you want to do something that's more TikTok focused, of course, you have to have TikTok.
Go back for 1 second. You said use TikTok, use Twitter for your links. Explain that.
So Twitter these days, you know, because there's only so much you can say on it. I always say people really want to be quick. They can click through on links on Twitter, because on Instagram right now, unless you're big and you could do swipe ups or whatever, you can't really link in your, you know, in your posts. So there's no click feature. On Facebook, they can click as well, but there's a whole, you know, it's a whole other algorithm that's tied in with Instagram. So on Twitter,
what's the limit on Instagram these days for to be able to swipe up and stuff?
It might be 240 or something like that. But again, you can put a URL there. So if you're posting, you know, hey, go check out my podcast, you could put that link on Twitter and people could click through and they're going to go right to the page.
Whereas on Instagram,
go listen to my podcast. Now they have to go click in your bio. You're making them click through a whole funnel thing rather than an instant click. So I always say Twitter's great for just links, cross-referencing, you know, retweet somebody, all that kind of garbage. Do it all on Twitter. Everything else leave to Facebook and Instagram.
Got it. And then, okay, so then once you have those platforms up, start posting. How often is there like a limit to the amount of content you post, or is it just the more the better?
I always say 3 times a week is a good amount, a good safe amount at the beginning, unless you're getting paid. But 3 times a week. And how I always say is think of those five things. It goes back to branding in stage one. If you want to be dogs, charity, business, I don't know, whatever else, every one of your posts, do it in that order. Post something about a dog. Then the next one, post something about a charity. Next one, post something about business. The next one's a media article. That way you're going in order every five. And as you're posting that, when people go to your page, they're starting to resonate who you are with those five things. And that's how you kind of create your brand. Once you start doing that for a few weeks, then you go to stage four in our whole list, where you can start telling your story and getting it out there through PR and marketing. Then you could, you know, you get yourself out there, you build the content to put into their social media. Then you're ready to have that whole platform in stage five, where you can start selling yourself or partnering up and getting, you know, that next step in influence.
Got it. And one thing that we haven't even mentioned yet is YouTube. What do you think about YouTube?
I love YouTube. YouTube's great. I mean, you could post videos on there, even Vimeo as well. I mean, YouTube's great. It's a, you know, again, they pay you, so it's an awesome platform. But yeah, YouTube's a part of that too. Again, if you're going to be more of just a photo influencer, then you only need the photo type of sites. If you're going to be more video content, or, you know, you have your own show or whatever it is, a podcast is great with visuals, right? You have audio and visual. YouTube's a great thing because somebody's searching, it could pop up. And if you're big on that, you could then, you know, use it in all other, you know, areas. So yeah, YouTube's great. Again, comes down to number one, figure out who you are, what you want to do, and then you can figure out the channels that relate to what you want to do.
Got it. Perfect. Any like words of advice to encouragement to people right now who are struggling with, you know, in the sea of noise, trying to stay? What's like to say, you think to say, hang in there, you know, you think things are going to change when the pandemic eases? Like, is there going to be any shifts going on here? Or is this going to, you know, what's the words of wisdom here to someone that's just, you know, on their way up, not getting the result right now? What how do they get in touch? First of all, how do they find out? Do you have a website where you, like, you know, teach people stuff and everything?
I haven't done any teachings. I do some mastermind classes. I have some little PDFs. I have a book I wrote for people called Cut the Bullshit, where it's literally photos and poems, because anybody could learn about marketing in, you know, 10 steps, pretty much. You don't have to read a whole big thing. But, you know, my words of encouragement would really be, you know, think outside of the box. Don't think you're right. Don't think your product is the best. Don't think you're the best, because, you know, there's a million other people that think they're the best and are doing the exact same thing. So think about what makes you different. And if you don't know what makes you different, ask a bunch of people what makes you different or what makes your product awesome. And then, you know, figure out what your story is. And whether you're a restaurant owner, or, you know, you're a fitness company and you've had to now go on mobile apps to train people because your gym is closed down or whatever it is, figure out where it's going. Try to predict. I mean, we all don't have that crystal ball, or we'd all be rich and famous. But, you know, try to figure out that path forward and how you can fit into that and separate yourself from the noise. And if you can't figure it out, hire somebody that can. Hire a coach. Hire, you know, go into a sales program. Go apply to a mastermind. I mean, if you want to, if it's all about you, invest in yourself. And the only way to invest in yourself is to get the knowledge from other people.
Who do you think right now is really doing it right, PR-wise, who's really just hot and just really, they're on brand and just, you know, just totally someone that's got to figure it out?
I think you got to figure it out, Jordan. I honestly, look, I got a magazine right next to me that I'm showing up for all the visual people. Like, it's Jordan on the fucking cover. Jordan is all over the news because not only does he have the movie stuff, but I'm serious, you've got the business sense and everything behind you. And so you've been able to leverage that into all different media opportunities and different funnels and everything like that. So right. If somebody's like looking at your personality, I mean, somebody doesn't have the backstory you have, but right. They use the skeleton of who you are
sure. To
branch off. So yeah, I mean, look at, I say this in every industry, look at who you admire in your industry and figure out what's working for them. Google what media is talking about them and figure out, hey, how do I get myself put into that? Who do I have to partner with? And that's kind of how you can go about your way.
What do you think about someone like Elon Musk?
I mean, genius. You know, I think, you know, a lot of what he says, he could throw something out there. It could be so far-fetched. But, I mean, you know, a year ago, he didn't like Bitcoin, and now he loves Bitcoin, and Bitcoin's going up, you know? So, I mean, whatever he says, it's gold now. But again,
it's like a kind of a modern day Warren Buffettish type of effect, right? He has, yeah.
You dress.
I like I like Elon. I think he's a good guy. I mean, like, I think one thing about Elon is, like, maybe he's kidding around sometimes with some of the things that he says, but he's never out to hurt anybody. You know, when he's doing stuff, it's to be fun, help people, inspire people, and he's just made some amazing things. So I think he's a cool guy. I just noticed that in the last year, he's really seems to always be like on like the edge of what is being talked about and current. And I'm wondering if it's something, it's a strategy he's using, or he's just on the edge of what's current. What do you think?
I mean, I think he's just a creative person. I think a lot of creative person are on the edge of a lot of things. And I'm sure he's got, you know, he could say 100 things and only 5 of those things actually come true. And
sure,
Then he's on the, you know, he's on the edge. You think he's on the edge. I think he's got a great marketing and PR team behind him that's, you know, getting him those placements, making sure, you know, when he's on a different show or whatever, it's all properly placed.
Sure.
I don't think it's all just him. I think he does have probably a wonderful team behind him. But again, if you're creative and you're throwing things out there and you have a lot of money and you're able to invest, I mean, you have to have money to make more money, right? So
right.
If you have all those things, you can make things happen. I mean, he has creative ideas. He needed the money. He threw it out, the money out there, and made it happen.
There you go.
With anything. If you, I could have a great idea to transport. Like I could say right now, I think it'd be awesome for us to snap our fingers and I can transport from where I am to you in the studio right now. You would think I'm fucking crazy. Like, how am I going to, you know, what am I, the Jetsons here? But a launch actually, like, I've got the money. I know some tech people. We could
right.
Start the process, get the PR out about it. And now everybody thinks he's on the cutting edge of it. But
yeah, you know. Got it. Buddy, thank you for coming on the show. You're awesome. Zach, everybody, check out his stuff. What's the best way? If they want to contact you, how do they contact you?
Honestly, you know, my website, ztpr.net, or just slide into my DMs on Instagram. You know, I
there you go.
What we say, somebody's going to take the time to reach out to you, reach out back to them.
Perfect. ZTBR.net. Zach, thanks for coming on the show. You're the best.
Thank you, Jordan.
Take care, buddy.